ELC Radio.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
Slate with the eyes of fate. We know unfailing love is not too late. Start over.
Are you guys ready to receive the word today? Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 43:25, or pull it up on your iPad or your phone. I feel so old school when I talk about turn into your Bibles. Does anybody still bring a Bible to church? Good for you. Give yourself a hand if you're an OG. Still carry the sword, amen? But you know what? Ain't nothing wrong with having your Bible on your phone, amen? Come on, somebody. Ain't nothing wrong with putting it in an iPad. Amen. Whatever you do, you got to have the word. But you know where the greatest place you got to have God's word in? You got to have it in your heart. Amen. All right. So let's go ahead and I want to start the year talking to you about a clean slate. Okay. 2020 is a clean slate. And I know it's kind of become cliche in most churches. You're going to hear things about this is your year. I was praying it over you. This is the year of your breakthrough, the year of your marriage, the year of whatever it is that you're believing for. And I know sometimes we hear that over and over and over again, and sometimes we can kind of disdain that a little bit. But be careful of not wanting to hear that, because your expectation is what is going to frame your year. It's not smart to enter into a year like, oh, another year, you know, it's just going to suck like the last ones or whatever. You've got to create expectation for the year that you want to have. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about, because a new year brings across a new promise. It's a new wonder. Man, what's this year going to be about? How is this year going to turn out? You know, 2019 might have been a tough year for you. Amen. It was a very tough year for us. But even though it was tough, we saw God do some amazing things. And I'm believing for God to do some incredible things in 2020. But here's the thing. God won't exceed. I mean, let me say it like this. He will, because he's sovereign. But your expectation basically sets the table for what you're going to have in the year. This is why people that are negative, quit it. Stop it. Stop being negative. Amen? Let's just get over that. This thing of excusing, well, I'm a glass half empty kind of person, will change. Because that's not faith. Faith is believing all the time for something better and better. Can I get an amen on that? What good is it? Well, I'm just a realist. Well, whose reality are you living in? Yeah, I'm a realist, so I just, no, you know what you are? You don't have any faith. Because you know what is the realist? You want to talk about the realist? The realist is the unseen realm. Because that's where God is. And God's real. And so if you're, I'm just going to be a realist, I'm just keeping it 100. Hey, my 100 is the spirit realm. My 100 is the promises of God. You might look and go, oh, man, you don't have this, you don't have that. No, I got it, because my reality is in the spirit. And the way I pull things from the spirit into the natural is through my faith. So I want to encourage you guys on the first Sunday of the month and of the year, of the decade, and we're going to talk about how to start the year strong. Amen? How many want to start the year strong? Now, I know people say, well, it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. But you know what? It is how you start. It is how you start. Try running a race and don't get a good start. starting strong is important, and it is, if finishing strong is important, but starting strong is also important. Amen? So I want to give you some things. So look at Isaiah 43:25, and then we're going to jump right into this. Isaiah 43:25, it says this. This is God speaking. He says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Now listen to this next part. He says, and I will not remember your sins. I will not remember your sins. Everybody say clean slate. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a God of abundant grace and mercy. You are a God, Father, that gives us a fresh start every day. Every time that we come before you and we ask you to forgive us, you forgive us. You hold nothing against us. And for that, we're grateful. And for that, Lord, we're reminded that you belong first in our lives. I pray today for the anointing to be here to preach and pull down strongholds. And I pray for courage in the hearts of the people, Lord, that they will have the courage to respond to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So we're talking about a clean slate. And this is one of my favorite scriptures in Isaiah 43. It's one of my favorite scriptures. If you don't know this scripture, you need to get to know this scripture, okay? Isaiah 43:25, it says it. God is declaring, I'm the God that blots out your transgressions, and I don't remember your sins. That's an amazing scripture. And you want to know why it's one of my favorite scriptures? Because I make a lot of mistakes. And guess what? So do you. Smile at me, church. Y'all ain't perfect. Y'all ain't perfect. As good as you are, you make mistakes. Can I get an amen on that? This is why we know we serve the right God. Because he makes provision for our mistakes. God is our God. Why? Because we're imperfect. And he comes and he makes provision for our imperfections. You know what this scripture basically is saying? That even if you make some dumb mistakes, I'll forgive them. Oh, come on, somebody. That should excite you. Because y'all know y'all have made some dumb mistakes. Am I the only one that has made some dumb mistakes? Oh, y'all don't want to admit mistakes in 2020, right? Listen, I can't take you to point B if you don't first admit point A. This is people's problem. We don't want to admit when we got things wrong. The only way you can get free from being an alcoholic, you first got to admit you're an alcoholic. Some of us don't want to admit that, though. No, I'm cool. You'll stay right there until you can say those words. Because the fastest way to get from point A to point B, you first got to recognize where you're at. And the sooner that you learn that you're not perfect, you're never going to be perfect, is the fastest way that God can now step in and go, I got you. I got you. Some people stay away from church because they think you can't be a Christian unless you're ready to be perfect. They got it so twisted. Man, I've said it before and I'll say it again. God is our God because we're imperfect. If you're imperfect, this is the church for you. If you're imperfect, this is the God for you. Because of what he says right here. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. You know what that means? He erases your mistakes. Look what else it says. I won't even remember your sins anymore. You know how amazing that is? Listen, some of you would have a great marriage if you could be like that. But you know what your greatest problem is? You don't forget nothing. Ah, I wish you could be like Jesus. Somebody said, I wish I could too. Jesus, when you come to him, he doesn't see your faults. He's not like, oh, you again. He's not like, yeah, I blessed you last time and look what you did. You asking for something else again. I gave it to you last time, and then you didn't go to church for like 2 months. Now what you want? He doesn't do that. How many are glad he doesn't do that? When you step into his presence, he don't look at you like, oh, here you go again. What did you do wrong? Only time you come to me is when you catch a case. We see you again. You got a court date. Is that why you're here? You going through it? He doesn't do that. The Bible says he wipes out our sins and then he doesn't even remember them. Guys, you know what? You know what? That there is so significant of the love that Jesus has for you. Why would you not want to serve a God like that? He's worthy of your sacrifice. He's worthy of you going, you know what? I'm done with the club. You know what? I'm done drinking. You know what? I'm done with that life. Because I'm serving a God, here it is, who gets me. Who understands me. Who's not going to judge me or cast me away. He's basically saying, I've made provision for all the dumb stuff that you're going to do. And you know what? Sign me up, God, because I've done some dumb stuff. I've made some mistakes. I've entered into things without praying through it. How many have done that before? How many have made some decisions based on your flesh rather than your spirit? Amen? Yeah, don't amen me. You might be sitting next to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We make dumb decisions. Stay with me, church. We make some dumb decisions. But guess what? God makes provision. It's a new year. Do you know you don't have to take anything into 2020 that you don't want to take? You don't want, if you don't want to take it, it ain't got to go. What you could do is bring it to God and we can leave it there. Yeah, all the premarital sex, all the drinking, all the stuff that you're ashamed of as you walked into church today, it don't have to continue to be a part of your life. We can leave it there. And not only can you leave it there, God don't even remember it no more. The scriptures tell us that you and I are new creatures in Christ. The world has not seen people like us. The world doesn't get us. That's why some of the world calls us hypocrites. You know, they're not right in all of that. It may seem like we're hypocrites because when we mess up, we keep on going. It's like, oh, hypocrites, y'all ain't perfect. Duh, we know we ain't perfect. We know we ain't perfect. Oh, but you're a hypocrite because you say you're a Christian, but you still do a lot of stuff. Hey, man, I'm imperfect. Yeah. Yeah. This thing is not about, God didn't call us to perfection. He makes provision for our imperfection. Can I get a good strong amen on that? Am I preaching to the right people? Or do you all do stuff right all the time? Do we need to get a prophet up in here, pull you up and go, ah. It don't take that, right? Tell your neighbor it don't take that. Tell your other neighbor, you just got to keep it 100. We're imperfect. So here's the great blessing going into 2020. You serve a God that can blot out your transgressions. You serve a God that as you approach him in 2020, he doesn't bring up 2019. He doesn't bring up 2018. Or 2010. Somebody, that was a tough year for you. Or 2008 when you graduated. Hallelujah. Praise God you're here. He don't bring that up. He don't even remember it. It's gone. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. Let me give you these five things how to start your year strong. Number one, I want you to write these down. You can put these on the screen too. First thing you're going to have to do to start this year strong is you got to leave your mistakes and bad decisions in the past. Leave them in the past. Leave them in the past. Now, this sounds easy, but it's very hard. Because the Bible talks about how forgiveness is a part of our walk. But you know what most people have a hard time doing? Forgiving themselves. We forgive. Some people have an easier time forgiving others, but they don't forgive themselves. And they beat themselves up for the mistakes they make. Guys, you got to quit doing that. You got to quit doing that. You got to understand, when God forgives you, you got to forgive yourselves. Whom the Son forgives is forgiven. Your sins are gone. So why do you keep bringing up your own stuff? Some of you, as I was talking about a missions trip, you're like, oh, I can't go on that. I'm not good enough to do that. I beg to differ. I beg to differ. The Bible says you're forgiven. You may need to make some changes. We'll get into that in a little while. But you got to understand this. You got to leave your mistakes and your bad decisions in the past. That's the blessing of a new year. Now, I know people will just want to hype you up on that, but it is a real thing. It is a real thing. 2020 has some new promises to it. You don't got to continue living the way you lived. You ain't got to continue going the same way you were. You can leave that stuff behind. Amen? So you get, but you got to make a conscious decision. The reason we get so cynical about a new year is because people go, well, you know, nothing's changing in my year. Well, that's not the year's fault. That's your fault. What you have before you, as I said, is a clean slate. Now, you can repeat the bad decisions and the mistakes that you made in 2019 and 2018, or you can choose to look at this blank slate, here it is, and put some things on that that you ain't never had before. You can paint an amazing 2020 using things that you ain't never used before, like consistency, like humility, like being teachable, like giving up control. Because if you keep going the direction you're going, the way you're going, it's not going to get better. And in many cases, it can get worse. So the first thing you got to do to start the year strong is you got to leave your mistakes and bad decisions in the past. Utilize this clean slate. Number two, second thing you need to do to start this new year strong is you need to make changes. Say it like this: nothing changes if nothing changes. Make changes. Make changes. Nothing changes if nothing changes. You want to have a better year than you've ever had? You got to make some changes. The tougher the change, the better it is. The tougher the change, the better it is. Amen? The tougher the change. Some of you know you need to make some tough changes. You might need to separate yourself from some people. That's a tough change, but it'll bear great results. The tougher the change, the better it is sometimes. And if you want to have a better year, you want to make sure this is a good year, you cannot be afraid to make some changes. If you're taking notes today, I want to challenge you. Write some things you need to change. How about being consistent? How about being faithful? How about one of the things I need to change is I need to keep God first. Might need to change eating habits. You know, people are, the gyms are full this month, amen? Everybody's in there this month. You know, all the people that go all the time get all frustrated with them. Dang. Then you come back in February, March, you get your machine back. You know, but make some changes. I want to encourage you. What are some things you need to change? Now, I talked about this. The tougher the change, the better it is for you many times. But can I also encourage you on the other side of that? Sometimes it don't take big changes. It takes little ones. Little itty bitty changes can alter everything for you. But here's the bottom line. You got to make some changes. Amen? Tell your neighbor, I got to make some changes. Because if nothing changes, nothing changes. Nothing changes. I want my marriage to get better. What are you willing to change? I want to get a better job. What are you willing to change? Change is going to be the price of this next level. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Number three, how to start the new year strong. The third thing you need to do, get ready. You need to revere and respect God. Revere and respect God. Basically, that means this: prioritize Him. Now, this is a great time to talk to a church about this in the beginning of the year, because we all have our excuses as to why we don't prioritize Him. Well, it's my job. Well, it's my family, you know. Well, it's this, well, it's that. Listen, get rid of the excuses and put God where He needs to be. Prioritize Him. This statistic that the average Christian goes to church once a month, that is pathetic. Well, yeah, but Pastor, you know, life happens and, you know, we got all these cares. Oh, really? You've bought into that cultural grind that you're okay putting God second or third? Well, you know, at least He's in my life. No, don't you read the Bible? God will not be second or third. It's the equivalent of putting batteries in the wrong way. Have you ever had a product or something you needs batteries? And you got the batteries, good for you, but you don't follow the instructions, you put them in wrong. Anybody ever done that? It don't work. And what I just described is your Christian life. You got God. You hear your pastor talk about him every week. You go to church, but he ain't first. He ain't first. So this is where, if you're going to have a good year, you got to revere and respect God. You got to prioritize him. Prioritize him. You may need to get another job to keep God first. You may need to. Amen? You may need to separate yourself from certain people that you grew up with to prioritize God. You may need to remove toxic family members from your life to prioritize God. Can I get an amen? You may need to rebudget your money to prioritize God. But if you revere and respect him, it only makes sense to do that. Look at Psalms 103. Psalms 103, 8 and 11. I want you to get this today. Again, it says this: the Lord is merciful and he's gracious. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Listen to this next part. He's slow to anger, abounding in mercy. Somebody say amen. Amen. Slow to anger, gives you mercy. He knows you still struggle with that same thing over and over again. He knows that you said you were going to stop, but you keep doing it. But guess what? He still loves you. He doesn't cast you off. He's not even mad at you. Are you guys seeing this? Again, this is the God we serve. This is how he is with us. But listen to this next part. But he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy. But listen to this next part. Y'all got to catch this next part. Towards those who fear him. Towards those who fear him. In other words, towards those that revere him. Not necessarily towards those that want to play games with God. Not necessarily towards those that would trample on the very grace of God, talking about, well, there's grace, I'm forgiven. No, towards those that revere him, towards those that fear him. Can I get a good strong amen on that? Amen. The reason I serve God is because I revere him. Some people, they don't revere God. Oh, well, I know he forgives, so I'm just going to do it and ask forgiveness for it later. You don't revere God. You don't revere God. You don't fear him. Listen, there were so many things in high school that I did not do because I was afraid of facing my dad when I got home. How many know what I'm talking about? Some of you may not. But there was a line I would not cross, because if I crossed it, I would have to show up in front of my dad and face the consequences. You know what that was? A healthy fear. That's reverence towards my father. Guess what? I got that same reverence towards God. Guess what? You need reverence towards God. Because when you reverence him, that's when all the mercy comes. That's when all the favor comes, slow to anger. He'll walk with you as far as you'll go. But when the minute you start playing games with God, this is why we don't have a lot of patience for folks that want to lead but live separate than the life they live in church. You know, there's been times we've had to tell youth leaders or people that served in a department, hey, you know what, you need to go fix that because you're living a double life here, and it's irreverent towards God. It's irreverent. We serve a God that promises us mercy, but here's the thing. You got to take him serious. You got to reverence him. Are you tracking with me? There's a godly fear in your life. So if you want to have an amazing 2020, you got to adjust this thing in your life. Because the road you're on, not reverencing God, isn't going to lead to anything good. I've said this before. So there's some people that go to church every Sunday that might still end up in hell. And that's the dumbest thing, to go to hell going to church every day, every Sunday. That's hecka dumb. Amen? Can I get 100 with you today? That is so dumb. Doing this Christian life, or so you think, and still end up in eternity with Satan and his angels. That's dumb. If you're going to go to hell, go to hell. Doesn't God tell us in the book of Revelations? Is this too real for y'all? Doesn't he tell us in the book of Revelations, hey, I want you hot or cold? Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. Literal translation, lukewarmness makes me sick. Guys, I don't want God to look at me and it make him physically sick because of my compromise, because of my love for the world, because I'm not prioritizing. I'm not reverencing him. I don't want that for my life. And I pray that you don't want it for yours. And if 2020 is going to be a great year, guys, we got to make some changes. And one of those changes, you got to start putting a priority on God. And can I tell you something? Anything you prioritize is going to cost you. It's going to cost you a little something. Amen? I'm not just talking financially. I'm talking about your life has got to change. You know, a lot of us used to love sleeping in on Sundays. Or let's call it what it was, overcoming hangovers on Sundays. Go down to Alonzo's, get our menudo for the crudo. Come on, somebody. And that was our routine. That was how we did it. But now we're serving God. Something had to change. Something had to change. We don't go do the things that we used to anymore because something has to change. Because now we've put God as a priority. The cinch don't get your tithe anymore. You don't get your tithe no more. Faces don't get your tithe no more. Right? Because we reprioritize. If you're going to have a strong year, revere and respect God and see what it does. If you're over here tipping and tapping still, and you're over here, I smoke a little weed, but God forgives me. He understands. You don't revere God. How long are you going? You can live years. Well, you know, I just fell a little bit. You don't fall. You choose. That term, I fell into sin, is just idiotic. You climb into sin. You make a series of choices that takes you down a path. You just don't wake up and, you know, do something. You make a choice, a series of choices. So if you will prioritize God, he will help you build a life where you can let go of stuff. But it ain't going to happen until you put him first. Look at that scripture in Psalms 103. He extends mercy to those who respect, revere, and obey. It's what he does. He wants to forgive you over and over and over again as long as you're taking ground. But some of you, come on, you ain't taking ground. You haven't grown in a couple years. You're just so compromised, you know. Oh, well, God understands. Oh, well, there's grace, there's mercy. How long do you want to stay walking around that same mountain? How long do you want to be like the Israelites, eating manna off the ground, walking around the same mountain? Heck no. I want to go fight giants. I want to possess my promised land. I want to do something that my kids are going to reap the benefits of. In 2020, man, you could start here, but you better prioritize and revere and respect God. Amen. Number four. Got a couple more and I'm done. Number four. First one, we said leave mistakes and bad decisions in your past. Number two, make changes. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Number three, revere and respect God. Prioritize him. And number four, develop an appetite for daily bread. The word. Guys, I like to say it like this. The word of God is an acquired taste. How many remember the first time you drank beer? Remember? You remember. It was nasty. I would say 95% of the people that try it the first time think it's gross. But what do? You look around the room. They like it. They like it. All right, guess what? This is what we do. And what do? You acquire a taste for it. Some of you will acquire a taste so much for it, you can't live without it. Guess what you're going to have to do now in the kingdom? You have to acquire a taste for his word. Now, the first time you're going to crack open that Bible, it's going to be like, what is this? And David slew and what is all that? First of all, get a better translation. Quit reading out of the old King James. People don't talk like that no more. Thou and thus and there. No. Just get you another Bible, okay? But secondly, even when you start reading the Bible, it's not going to take, because some of us don't read at all, right? I mean, let's just be honest. Before I got saved, I never read an entire book. Never read it. Reading was not a part of my life. But when I got saved, guess what I had to do? I had to acquire a love and an appetite for God's word. If you're going to have an incredible 2020, you got to acquire this appetite. In the same way you did it when you was drinking that beer, come on, it was nasty. But you looked around the room and the fine girl you was trying to get at was drinking. And the dude you thought was cool was drinking. So you said, okay, I guess I'm drinking. And then you kept drinking until it became an appetite. Well, guess what? The word is very similar to that. So much so that there's correlations between the Holy Spirit and wine. That's a whole nother message. But it's an acquired taste. It is developing an appetite for it. Now, why do you need to do this? Because look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. It says this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You're destroyed because of what you don't know in God's word. Satan's greatest weapon against you is not demons. Quit blaming stuff on the devil. It's not people. The man, they're keeping me down. No, guess what your greatest enemy is? Your ignorance. Your ignorance. It's the only effective weapon Satan has against you. It's your ignorance. He don't want you carrying a Bible. He don't want you reading it. Why? Because he can keep you ignorant. He can dominate you and destroy you. That's what it says in Hosea. God has an answer for every other weapon Satan throws at us. Oh, you got sickness? God has healing. Poverty? God has provision. But there's one thing that Satan can do. Keep you ignorant. Keep you ignorant. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad I go to a church that teaches the word. Because not all churches teach the word. We're going to give you a poem. We're going to tell you be nice. Why all the while everybody just stays ignorant? You need to know God's word. You need to develop an appetite that when you come, I got to learn something. Feed me something. I need his word in me. Why? Because my life's at stake. Until you learn the scriptures, you'll suffer because of ignorance. Because you're ignorant of relationships, you keep picking the wrong dude. Somebody say amen. Because you're ignorant of God's word, you get a good girlfriend, but you do her wrong. Ignorance destroys you. God blesses you with amazing kids. But you're ignorant on how to be a father. God blesses you with some great babies, but you're ignorant about what God's word says about how to be a good mother. So guess what you do when you don't know what to do the right thing? You follow wrong examples. And you always said, I'd never be like my mom. You're exactly like her. You know what that is? It's a default mechanism. Unless you learn a way, you default to all you know. That's scary, isn't it? Because some of you, you've made that declaration. I'll never be like my dad. I'll never be like my mom. Well, then you better learn another way. Because if you don't learn another way, the default mechanism is to repeat the things you see. Amen? So flip that over. Guess what you can program into your kids? An incredible default mechanism. My kids, when they get older, their default mechanism is going to be to believe God. They ain't have to try as hard as I had to. They're just going to be like, well, you know, I saw my dad just pray and go. Let's go. Their wives will probably freak out. What? Well, that's all I know. It's my default mechanism. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. We're just going to believe God. But see, if you don't learn a new way, you repeat the mistakes that you came out of. I'm making some of you mad. I know it because you've said it in your heart. I will never be like that. Get to reading. You're not careful, you'll marry the exact same kind of person that your mom did. Get to reading. We are destroyed because of our lack of knowledge. So in 2020, you got to get an appetite for that word. You got to get an appetite. Every day, crack open that Bible. Every day, pull that app up on your phone. Every day, pull that thing up and start eating it until you love it. Start listening to it until you crave it. Can I get an amen? You'll start craving that thing. Understand, his word is what produces faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the currency of heaven. No faith, no access to the promises of God. Where does faith come from? It comes from his word. And still, I can't get some of you to read it. Can't get some of you been hearing it all your life. Read your Bible. You'd rather read Facebook. You'd rather read TikTok. You'd rather read whatever. Someone say, TikTok's pictures, Pastor. You ain't got to read. I know. I'm just saying. We'd rather read other stuff. But you know what you got to do every day? Read a chapter. Every day, read a psalm. Put on a podcast. Listen to a word. Get that in you until you crave it. The same way you start craving that bottle. Then 2020 will be a great year because you know why? You'll start learning some things. You'll start learning some things. And number five, last thing I want to leave you with is this. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. What do I mean by this? Don't sabotage a yesterday prayer. Stay in faith. Some of you have been praying for certain things. But when you talk to people, all that comes out of your mouth is doubt and unbelief. You're praying and asking God for a house. But then when you talk to people, I don't know how we're going to get it. May seem impossible. You've been praying for a spouse. He ain't ever going to come. There ain't no good men out there. All men are dogs. See, what you're doing, you're sabotaging the prayer that you prayed. You're sabotaging it. I want you to think like this. The Bible tells us clearly, God hears your prayers. You're a son. You're a daughter of God. He hears your prayers. So even though you can't see anything happen, doesn't mean nothing's happened. I like to say it like this. The minute I pray it, God puts things in motion for me to receive it. The minute I say, God, we need a house, he says, okay. So the Bible tells me, he says, okay. Because he tells me in the Bible, if you ask anything in my name, believing you'll receive, you can have what you say. So when I just say, God, our family needs a new house, we pray for it, we believe for it, we receive it, amen. I don't see anything. I don't feel anything. The bank still even tells me, you don't qualify. I still have to believe that it's coming against what I see. But here's what we do. We get the report from the bank. You can't have it. And then we go to saying things that sabotage or work against what is happening from our previous prayer. The moment you pray, God, I believe that you're going to send me a wife. Anybody pray that prayer? Single people only. Single people. Married people, you got one. You ever pray that prayer? You should. I don't want to appear thirsty. I'm not saying praying it up here in your private time. Oh, Lord, I need a wife, Father. I pray for a wife. Believe for that. The moment you ask for it,
it went into motion. Your job is to stay in faith with it, even when you keep getting shot down. God sent me a wife, and you're praying that, and you see that girl at church, not the club, at church. And you're like, hey, you know, you want to get some coffee? She's like, nah, I'm good. Then we go into this. Oh, it ain't never going to happen. Sabotage. Sabotage. You prayed it. It's already coming. Your job is to hope and have faith against the odds. You might get shot down again. And again, then you start saying things like, I don't like Christian girls. But you want God to bring you an unsaved girl? Good luck with that. Right? But we fall into that. Don't do that in 2020. Don't sabotage your prayers. Be bold with your prayers and know this, the minute you pray it, it goes into motion. I'm not saying that. If you read his word and you weren't ignorant to his word, you would know his word tells you that. But if you're ignorant to it, going back to step four, your ignorance can destroy your promise. And so you give up. You got shot down by three church girls. Now you're going to go back to the club. You gave up. You sabotaged. You sabotaged it. Right? Are you tracking with me? You have got to hold in 2020. Hold, believe. What is it you're believing God for? What is it? Is it taking a while? It may take a while. But can you hold? Can you have faith that when you asked God for something, it went into motion? This thing of this, you got to get rid of this. God don't hear my prayers. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells you he hears everything you pray for. And not only does he hear it, if you ask for it in Jesus' name, it goes into motion. You just got to keep believing and quit sabotaging your prayers. One thing you got to leave out of 2020 is negativity. Leave it out. Quit complaining. Tell your neighbor, quit complaining. Tell your husband, quit complaining. Tell your wife, quit complaining. Tell your kids, quit complaining. I don't have a very high tolerance for complaining. I don't. I've told you this before. I used to pick up my kids from school, and they'd go right to, oh, it was the worst day. I said, nope, tell me three things that are good about today. And then they give me a little attitude. Oh. And they try to get me. Well, I had lunch. And I jump on that. Good. Awesome. Lunch is good. They look at me like. You know, I mean, pull that. You gotta make your mind, the default of your mind, be positivity. You gotta make it go that route. Because if you let it get in depression and all that stuff, the only way you're gonna be normal is if they give you medication. I'm just telling you, you don't want that life. You don't want that life. You've got to start finding things that are praiseworthy, Philippians 4, meditating on things that are true, that are right, to recalibrate your mind to think correctly. Amen? So let me give you this today. What was number one? Anybody take notes? Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Let's stand on our feet. We're going to have a good year. Amen? We're going to have a good year.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.